You're listening to episode 35. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe from BoldTurquoise.com and CultivatingTheLovely.com, and we are actually at the final episode of season two. Ladies, I can't believe that we've made it this far through two entire seasons of the podcast. Don't worry, we will be back in September with brand new episodes, a little bit of a tweak to the format that I think you're all going to really like, and lots of fun new stuff coming at you. But in the meantime, there is still a lot going on. So as you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I released my brand new course called the Lovely Homeschool Course. It is for moms at all different levels of homeschooling, whether you're brand new or you've been doing it for 10 years. I really believe that it has something to offer. And it seems that the women who are taking the course have the same thing to say. I have been so encouraged to hear from so many women who have said, this course really helped me to narrow down what my homeschooling style was, or I never even thought to plan this way, and it's helping simplify things so much. We also have Katie Duckett in there as a mentor, which is amazing and wonderful, and people are able to ask her questions directly, and she gives them really heartfelt, wonderful responses. So if you loved Katie's episode of the podcast, you're going to want to get this course so that you can get in there and talk to her as well. Just go to thelovelyhomeschoolcourse.com and you will get instant access. Another thing you're not going to want to miss is the 2017 Homemaking Ministries Online Conference. I spoke at this conference last year. It was so much fun, and they've got an amazing lineup for this year as well. They are opening ticket sales earlier than they ever have before, so they actually open them today. And you can go to boldturquoise.com/2017homemaking to get right into it and get all registered so that when the conference happens at the end of September, you will be ready. But enough with all the announcements. Let's get down to this episode of the podcast. With it being the final one, I thought it'd be fun to have just a kind of break into summer episode. I know a lot of us are kind of already in the middle of summer, but this week I have on Jamie Balmay, who is actually the creator of the Homemaking Ministries Conference, and we are talking all about how she deals with summer with just littles, and I'm doing summer with a whole range of ages. So I hope you really enjoy me and Jamie just chatting it up. Hello, Jamie.
Hey.
I am so excited to have you on the episode today because we've connected over some other things like your conferences and stuff that you have online. But I don't know why we never thought to like be on each other's podcasts. Seems pretty
applicable, right? I am so excited that we are finally getting this together because I love your podcast and I always listen to it. And I know my readers listen too. So I am super excited to be here.
And it's just fun to like be on with another podcaster. So I want to just have this opportunity today to almost kind of co-host with each other because I want to talk about summer. This is our last episode of the year, which is super fun just to be going out, I think, on this note of giving moms kind of an idea of how to savor summer. Now, a lot of people, I'm sure, have ideas of what they're going to do with their kids, but I thought it would be fun to give a perspective of a mom with just littles, because as Jamie will tell you in a second, she's got a lot of littles. And then a perspective of a mom who has a little bit older kids, which is me, because this year is the first summer in a long time where I'm not like huge pregnant or nursing or have a baby. Like I have a fairly self-sufficient 2.5-year-old that can do things, and she's potty trained and can go places. So I feel like the world of opportunity is open to me this summer. So I think it'll be fun to kind of give that perspective to people. So do you want to tell us a little bit about you and your family for people who might not know who you are?
Yes, absolutely. So our family is a little bit unusual. We have 5 kids, 4 and under, which I know it sounds crazy.
Mind-boggling.
We have 2 sets of twin boys and a baby girl. So our oldest twins are 4.5. Our younger ones are going to turn 2 this summer. And then our baby girl, Magnolia, is just about 4 months old. So we have a lot of little kids. And like you're saying, you're heading into the summer of freedom. I feel like the exact opposite. Like I am home all the time. Like it's not easy to go anywhere. So yeah, I definitely feel like we've got those two perspectives going on.
Yes, definitely. And I just have to say, I mean, one set of twins is enough, but two sets of twins, but then two sets of twin boys. Like that's just,
oh my gosh.
I don't even know what to say.
It makes a huge difference. I have friends who have twin girls. And I mean, twins are still crazy, but girls just play quieter and they don't like throw things all the time and run each other over. And so there's four boys and they're all 2 years apart. So it is like chaos all the time, but they also play really well with each other and, you know, they fight, but they play and jump on the trampoline. And so they've got those built-in buddies. So it's chaotic, but they also occupy themselves a lot. So that I think that helps. Yeah.
That definitely helps for sure. Yes. Okay. So today, well, tell us a little bit about your business, actually, because you've got all kinds of stuff going on online. So tell people where they can find you. Because not only are you mom of, you know, 5, 4 and under, you also are a work at home mom.
Yes. And I've had to kind of come to grips with that I am a work at home mom. I had a friend once at one of our homemaking conferences. She was doing a session on working from home and she was talking about how to like balance things. And she said, you know what? If you work from home, your house is going to be messier than if you didn't work. And I was like, it was like a light bulb. Like, oh my gosh, she's right. Like, okay. Like I am choosing to do some things that my husband and I are both fully on board with. It's something that's great. And so, okay. Like my house is gonna be a little messier and oh well. And like coming to grips with some of that stuff, I'm like, okay, like I got this.
Yes. That's so good. Okay. So what is it you do? Tell people.
Okay. Yes. Anyway, so I have a blog, youngwifesguide.com, and I blog about gospel-centered homemaking. And most of what I end up talking about is what do you do when you're overwhelmed? And what do you do when you are just like so tired and you can't see straight and you just want to yell and you just don't know what to do? Because that's what I get questions about that all the time. And I feel particularly qualified to address that because I'm overwhelmed like every single day. Yeah. And so it's basically, I just share about what do you do when you're overwhelmed and turning back to the Lord within that. Mm-hmm. And just learning to cling to him and that is the goal within our homemaking rather than a perfectly clean home or these gourmet meals, but that our focus is on the gospel, teaching our kids the gospel and having just that gospel-centered focus within our homemaking. And it's something that I have to remind myself like every 10 minutes. Yeah. And so I have tons of material for my podcast and my blog because it's just stuff that I need to tell myself every day. And, you know, apparently other people are connecting with that too. And there's a lot of us that are overwhelmed, but I think that's just life. And so that's pretty much what we do. And then my husband actually quit his job almost 2 years ago now to run this full time with me. So that's really fun. So we're a work at home family now, which just is amazing. And I think that's one of the ways that I'm able to survive because if I'm up with the newborn at night, then he can get up with the older kids and do breakfast. He doesn't have to go off to his job. So that really helps. But it's also, it gives us the opportunity to run. We have an online homemaking conference that we run every year. Yes. And then we have an academy, my homemaking mentor, which is just incredible. And so having Jason home running the business while I'm running the home works really, really well.
Yes. Definitely. And I still get comments. I was in the homemaking conference last year and I still get comments from people and I hear from people who that conference just did amazing things for them. And so if you guys are looking for just encouragement, not even, I mean, there are how-tos and that kind of stuff, but just encouragement and realness, then I really suggest you watch out for this conference in the fall, right?
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, honestly, the reason I put it together is because like I was looking for that encouragement as well. And so we bring in, like you said, Mackenzie, you were one of the speakers. We bring in other speakers, which is great because then I'm getting to hear all of their teaching and their encouragement. And it really is. It is so encouraging. And we hear from people every day that it's like life-changing within their homemaking. Just so much fun. So we actually have a little plug. We have tickets going on sale in June. So we're actually starting this new, we're backing up the tickets to give people cheaper tickets. So tickets are going on sale in June.
Which this is really actually excited. Coming out after that. So they would.
Oh, yes. So they are
on
sale.
July, so they're in sale. Awesome.
So if you want to check them out, you can go to homemakingministries.com/ 2017. And awesome. Then you can check out all of the details there.
And we'll have all of those links and everything in the show notes. So be sure you head over there because it's such a good conference. You guys are really going to want to check it out. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So since you have all these little people, what is summer going to look like for you? Is it, do you kind of keep the same routine that you have? Are there things you're wanting to do? Like, how are you going to savor this summer with your family?
So for us, because we're not homeschooling yet, which we're going to be adding that element soon in, I'm a little afraid, but we don't have that school rhythm yet.
Yeah.
And so our summers, for the most part, look the same just because, like, I have to have structure in my day with so many little kids or I would go insane. But summer is a lot of outdoor play because we're here in Northern California. It rains a lot throughout the winter. And so by spring and summer, like, we just want to be outdoors. We, especially with the four boys, the high energy. So we spend a ton of time outside, but it also gets really, really hot here in California, in the hundreds during the summer. So we make really good use of our mornings. So pretty much every morning, like 8 a.m., as soon as we're done with breakfast, everybody's outside playing for several hours until it just gets too hot and we come back in. So I try to make really good use of that because on the days where, like, I get behind and I'm not being intentional about sending them outside, then it's just like that cabin fever. And so I really try to make that playtime a priority throughout the summer because it's so good and it works well in the morning, but not like later throughout the day. So I have to be more organized to make that happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. Even with, you know, I'm a little farther north than you are, but we still have hot summers. I mean, we don't get as hot as you are, but we can get up to the hundreds or the low hundreds, you know. And so it's the same kind of thing. You really have to take advantage of those mornings. And I find that maintaining at least some sort of routine, even if it's a little bit different than we've had during the school year, just makes so much of a difference. I mean, it's really easy to kind of lose control of things in the house and, you know, all that kind of stuff if we don't stay in some kind of routine. But I like to get us up like first thing in the morning. The kids love to go out back on the deck. It's so warm. We can just eat breakfast out there and then do a little bit of reading and take advantage of being outside. And I found that last summer I was like, I'm going to KonMari my house. I'm going to like do all these amazing projects all summer long. And my husband worked like 7 days a week for seven months last summer. And so he was just gone. And it was just us, me and the kids. And I had so many projects. I feel like I got to the end of summer and I was like, what happened? I don't even feel like I spent any time with my kids. Like we were together every day and I was just doing so many projects that I really want to make sure this summer, while I do have projects that I want to get done, that I'm really allowing myself to just be outside with them and not always be thinking about, oh, I got to get this done. I got to get that done. Like, just enjoy my kids this summer.
Yeah. And I think for me, I really have to give myself permission to just be and to just sit there with them or like bring a book outside with them because like I am a to-do list person. Like I have so many projects and so many ideas that I always want to be working on something. And our summer last year was a little bit like that. We launched our academy in July of last year. And so the entire summer was spent working on it. And I mean, we had to do it and I'm so thankful and it was amazing, but it was like, I had the same feeling. We got to like September 1st and I was like, what? Like summer's over? Where did it go?
Yeah.
So like I am so the same way. I want to make sure that there are definitely things I have to get done this summer, but I want to be a little bit more intentional with how we spend our time. But for us, that doesn't mean that we're going to be going and doing activity after activity.
Yeah.
Mostly it's going to be just being there with my kids, letting them play outside, but being out there with them too, and sitting and reading a book or, you know, playing some games with them and just really soaking in those summer memories.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, a lot of our summer I know will just be that too. It'll just be being around the farm and doing that kind of stuff. But I also want to like take advantage of just our what is available to us locally. Like, because I think so much of the time you just kind of overlook what is near you. And really, we live in an area that has more of a rich history than I often give it credit for. I think I'm always like, oh, we're West Coast. Nothing that happened over here, you know?
Yeah.
But there are a lot of sites and there are a lot of things to go see. And what an opportunity, what a time for just natural learning for my kids to go and do these things. Because we won't go do them in the winter. Like, I want to to actually put in the effort this summer, that now that I have that ability with a little bit older kids this summer, to just do it, to not put it on the back burner, but just go enjoy that stuff with them.
Yeah. Well, I think that is like the key, is like putting it on the calendar and then doing it. Because there are a few things we want to do. Like, I really want to take the older boys to go do swim lessons this year that we just never got around to last year. I want to go. There's a couple really cool, unique parks in our area. And like, if we don't just like make it happen, obviously it doesn't happen. And so sometimes it's just getting intentional of putting it on your calendar and making sure it happens. Because like you said, otherwise you get to September and you didn't do anything.
Yep.
And so you got to be intentional with it sometimes.
Yeah. So use those planners, ladies. Here's our little planner plug.
Exactly.
Okay. But otherwise, and other things, do you have any other goals, like for yourself or your home, that you're going to try to do for this year? Like, do you have certain, I know you have reading goals for your year, but are you thinking you'll take on more reading this summer, or, you know, that kind of thing?
Well, so my goal and my hope would be to catch up on my reading goal through the summer. I would really like to add in some more reading time. Jason and I both, our goal this year is to read 104 books in the year, which is 2 books a week, which is really crazy. But I'm only like 15 books behind right now. So I'm in the 30s that I've read so far as we're recording this. So I'm doing better than I thought I would, but I am behind. So I'm really hoping to just step off the hamster wheel a little bit this summer and just spend a little more time just intentionally reading and relaxing and spending time in the evenings just reading. And so that, I think that's one of my big things, especially for June and July, is to just really take some extra time to just allow myself to read, and to read fiction, because I love reading fiction. Most of what I dedicate my time to is nonfiction, but like giving myself that permission to read some series. And so I think that's one of my big goals, is to read some more. And another thing is, my word for this year is create. That was the word I had, which I've been so excited for. And I set this goal, this word, in January. And then we had our baby girl January 20th.
Yeah.
So I knew that this was going to have to be a word that kind of was for later in the year. And so I've just started getting back. I really want to get back into scrapbooking and putting pictures together of our family. I haven't been doing that the last couple years, and it's something I really miss. I love working with my hands.
Yeah.
And right now, all of my creative outlets are online, which I love, because I also love writing. And I love podcasting, but I don't have really anything like physical that I work on, and printing out those pictures and stuff. So that is one of my other goals for this summer, is to be more intentional with taking the time for that and not feeling guilty either. Because then I feel guilty that I should be cleaning, or I should be, you know, organizing something or doing something more practical for the home. But it's so life-giving to me to work on those things. And it's family memories too, which I think are incredibly important. And yet that doesn't reflect on my to-do list. Like, I don't make them a priority. Yeah. So that's something I really want to be focusing on this summer, is just making that more of a reality. Even if it's just a few minutes here or there, I don't need to spend hours on it, but spending a little tiny bit of time, it just really fills me up. So that's what I'm hoping to work on.
Yeah. I find that even just spending 15 or 20 minutes prepping my planner for each week, it's just such a silly thing, but it's, again, like you said, that tangible thing that I'm actually doing and creating. And it's just like, it just gives me that little outlet to be able to do that, because there's a lot of other things. I would love to be sewing again. I would love to be doing way bigger art and, you know, journaling and art journaling and doing all these things, but I just don't have that time right now. But even just continually putting the effort into my planner every week, it's just that thing that kind of fills me up every week. It makes me feel ready for the week to come.
Yeah, that's so funny. I think you and I are so similar with all of our...
Yes!
I'm such a creative person, and I have like 55 million new ideas like every, you know, second. So it's like just squirrel. Like, what do I focus on next? Like,
do you know what you are on the Myers-Briggs scale?
I am an INFP.
Okay. Well, that explains a lot. I'm an ENFP. So, yep, I get it.
I love that. That's so fun.
Oh, yes. Man. Okay, we are going to take a short break right here to hear a quick little word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by PlateJoy. So this is a really great and super helpful meal planning service that I want to tell you guys a little bit about. So, you know, we all want to eat better, but actually doing it, especially with a family, is a different story. You can spend hours searching online for recipes, trying to find meals that match your family's tastes and your health goals, and that don't take forever to make, and that won't leave you with a huge grocery bill at the end of the day. And that's why you need to try PlateJoy, the meal planner that makes healthy eating easy. PlateJoy designs custom meal plans to fit your unique health goals, taste preferences, and your busy schedule. Take PlateJoy's lifestyle questionnaire to choose from dozens of different options, including low-carb, Whole30, paleo, gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan, vegetarian, and many more. You can even add a weight loss or fitness goal, exclude any ingredient that your family doesn't like, or request freezer-friendly meals for super busy weeknights. PlateJoy uses 50 different data points to create meal plans that are a perfect match for you, with as many healthy, delicious recipes as you'd like each week. You'll also get a grocery list that cuts your shopping time in half and that keeps track of what you already have in your pantry to reduce your food waste. And it's super helpful for your budget as well. You can shop for yourself or in a lot of cities. In fact, 30 cities nationwide, you can get ingredients delivered same day right to you. So visit PlateJoy.com and you can get 10 days of meal plans for free and enter the code LOVELY in all capital letters to save $10 off a membership. So thank you to PlateJoy for sponsoring this episode. And now let's jump back in with the conversation. Okay, so that's kind of what you're doing for yourself and to kind of pour into yourself for the summer. But what is your business going to look like over the summer? Like, do you guys calm things down or do you amp things up? Like, are you working on big projects throughout the summer to then kind of take you through the rest of the year? Or what does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, so this year is going to be a little bit of an experiment. We're hoping to work a little less this summer, but yeah. We'll see the realities of it. Our online conference is always in the fall. So like all summer is our major prep time, but the beginning of summer is a lot calmer. It's like when August and September hit, they get really crazy. And our conference is usually, the past 3 years, it's been in October. Mm-hmm. And we're actually going to be doing it the very last week in September this year. Oh. And so we're moving it up a tiny bit, so which scares me a little bit. But we've also been working on the conference now for a couple months. And so we're working on it earlier than we ever have getting everything together. And so I'm hoping it'll go smoother. So my plan is to take most of August off, like of work completely. We get a cabin in South Lake Tahoe every August for 2 weeks. It's right on the lake. And so it's just the perfect time. We don't have internet up there. And so I'm hoping to extend that 2 weeks into the whole month and just really take that time off intentionally. But we'll see. There's always emails and things like that that I gotta keep up on. But we're hoping to kind of spread the work out a little bit more so that our whole summer isn't just like dominated by work. But the fun thing kind of with our work is we can take time off when we want to. So if we want to take more time off in December or January, then we can. And so if our summer ends up a little busier, then we just take a little more time off around the year, which is kind of nice. So we'll see. Our work is just very like, I don't know, up in the air. 1 week might be really busy and then the next week is a little bit less. So we'll see. But that's kind of our general plan so far.
Yeah, I know. It's so hard because I think there's the appeal of summer and you want to enjoy it. But then there's also the appeal of like, oh, well, especially for me as a homeschooler, like, I don't have to worry about homeschooling, really. I mean, my kids are still doing some stuff, like they read every day and we review math facts and, you know, stuff like that. But it's like, oh, I should have all this extra time to get the podcast, like record all the podcasts for next year, start editing them. And, you know, I'll be conducting the homeschool course over the summer and getting ready for next year for our homeschool year, you know. And so I really have to make sure that I do savor and not just load myself up with things to do with that extra time. Like, I have to remember that extra time is still to spend with my kids and enjoy with them. So it's hard to balance. It's hard to balance all of it.
It is. And I think it's hard too, because I love what I do so much. And in my work really fills me up. So like if it's 9 o'clock at night and I'm like, oh, I was going to work on that thing. Like, it's exciting and energizing to me. I've actually learned that I cannot work right up until bedtime, because if I go to bed, then my mind is just like whirling with thoughts and ideas, yeah. and I got to write things down. And so it's hard in one way because I enjoy it so much that I have to be okay with not working on something. And yeah. I have to be okay with just being still and just being with my kids. And then I'm always so thankful that I did. But my yes. tendency is to load myself up and work on stuff, which is good in one way. But then just doing nothing is also very good in other ways. And so yeah. I have to remember to slow down too and be like, nope, I'm just yeah. going to sit outside with the kids and watch them color on the ground. I don't need to be working on a project right now. I yeah. can just be here with them. And it, whenever I do that, I'm always thankful that I did. So I just got to remember that.
Yeah. And I think that's so good for other moms to hear, because I mean, there's a lot of moms who I know that's, they don't have a problem with that. Like, that's just, yeah, of course, I'm just going to be with my kids. And then there's me, like Squirrel, like you said, like, yeah, oh, there's totally. So many things I could be doing. And like, if I'll go out back, this is so ridiculous, but I'll go out back in the summer and have like my iPad, 4 books and a notebook and my planner. And like,
oh,
I'm just yes. going to sit out on the back deck. Like, yes. I'm not even like driving somewhere. Did I really need to bring all of this with me?
Oh my gosh.
Probably not. Like, I have to like tell myself, calm down. Just, you know, it's okay to sit here and listen to the birds and your children laughing or probably fighting, but also laughing. You know, that's okay. Like, yeah.
Right. Well, yes. I'm the type, like, I always will always have a podcast going, or I'm always, like you said, if I'm yep. outside, I'll bring 3 books and a notebook. So I'm like, well, what if I need to take notes? Or what if a podcast idea pops into my head? Like, I need to be ready, which they yep. usually do.
Yeah.
And like, I just, there's always stuff going on. And so I do, and I think I thrive in that. So I think that is my normal, which is good for me. But there are definitely times when I need to like leave everything inside, leave my phone. And actually, one thing I did in the last 6 months is I have taken all social media, I've taken email, I've taken everything off my phone, which wow. I never thought I would get there. Okay, I do have Instagram on my phone, obviously.
Yeah.
But I never thought I would do that. But it has been really, really good for me, because then I'm not distracted as much when I'm with my kids. Mm-hmm. And then when I get on my computer, it's work time. Yeah. And then I can devote it to that, because Facebook to me is work. Like that, you know, social yeah. media is part of my work, and email definitely. And I get yeah. like 200 emails a day, so it's just insane.
Yeah.
And it's been so good just for my peace of mind to like, I don't even look at my phone. Like, I don't have any reason to. So I'll go hours where I don't even know where it is. And yeah. like, that's been so good for me. And my husband works from home, so I'm not like waiting on a call or text from him usually.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I don't have to have it with me. But that's been really good for me too, is just to kind of, I wouldn't say I was ever super addicted to my phone, but until I deleted it, I never realized like how often I'd pick up my phone and look at, like, go to look at Facebook and go, oh yeah, it's not here.
Yeah. Yeah. When you go and you actually check like the timed settings on your phone that show like how much time you've spent on everything, it can be seriously humbling. Like, oh my goodness, I did not yeah. even realize that I was spending that much time on it. And I think it just becomes habit. It's like, I don't yeah, even really don't care it. What's happening on Facebook, but you just yeah. end up looking at it, you know? And so that's an important thing to break. And I think summer is a great time to do it, because yeah. there is so much to just savor and enjoy with what's actually around you. You know, I think in the winter when you're kind of cooped up and it's like you don't have that freedom, you do kind of turn to those things, I think, a little bit more yeah. than in the summer. And so summer's a good time to just be able to savor it for yeah. sure.
Well, and it's allowed me to read more too, with taking yeah. off all social media, because like, even for me, like, there's days where I, you know, all I can find is 5 minutes to read. Yeah. But if I've taken Facebook and stuff off, maybe that's 15 minutes yeah. that I'm not on social media at totally. All. And 15 minutes a day totally adds up.
Yeah.
You can move through books, even if yeah. it's 5, 10, 15 minutes a day. So for me, I have really replaced that habit of just scrolling through Facebook, which I've been hating more and more anyway, since yeah. it's all just terrible stories and yes. stuff that I just get like dragged down being on Facebook, which is actually the reason I ended up deleting it. And so being able to then replace that with something that's so life-giving to me, which is reading, mm-hmm. Has been a really, really good habit for me. So yeah. I will be continuing this for as long as I can see.
Yeah, I was much better about reading last year and, like, turning to that instead of social media. And then this year, YouTube happened in my life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I actually, okay, so I take it back. I do have YouTube on my phone, but I don't, I'm pretty good at, like, being intentional with when I'm watching the YouTube channels and not just getting sucked in for hours. Obviously, that happens sometimes. But yeah, I totally agree. YouTube, I think it's like my newest, like, favorite social media. If you call it social media, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm in love with YouTube.
Yeah. I think I end up, well, as of late, I've been watching it more than even like Netflix or Amazon Prime or anything. Cause I'm trying to get my daughter to sleep well, go to sleep on her own with her sister in her room. But right now that looks like me sitting in their room forever. At night, forever. And so there's been a lot of YouTube happening while I sit there, which I could have probably read 8 million books, but sometimes you just have to check out. And I read a lot last year, so I'm hanging my hat on that.
Yeah, well, and that's, it can be life-giving in other ways, too. Yeah. Doing something like YouTube. And so sometimes I think we need to give ourselves permission to, like, that becomes a hobby then of yours.
Yeah.
And it's part of, it can be part of your business too and your blog and stuff. So it can be a hobby and something that we enjoy. So I think sometimes we need to give ourselves permission for that as well. Cause like I didn't delete Instagram and I like scrolling through Instagram. It's encouraging to me. I like following up with my friends are doing. Most of the people I follow are super encouraging. And so for me, that is something that I allow myself to do because it's encouraging for me and fills me up. It doesn't tear me down or anything like that. And so I allow myself to have some time for that. And I think we need to be okay with that.
Yeah. I think I talked about this on a reading episode a few months ago with my friend, Rebecca Sacron. And it's like, we need to have grace with ourselves and be like, we may have whole years where it's like, just give yourself a break and read fiction. If you're going to read anything, like you don't always have to be, have it be hard, especially if you're pouring out in a lot of other ways. Like I felt like last year was a big year of me taking in a lot of information. Mm-hmm. And this year has been a bigger year of me pouring out. And so there's been a lot more like creating courses and working on the podcast and doing this YouTube thing. Like I'm putting out in so many different ways that when I have those few minutes that I can just kind of relax, it's nice to just catch up with my favorite YouTubers or even most of the time I'm like looking at different, what camera do I want to buy? Like, looking at every video about that, you know, it's its own form of research on YouTube, but it's been a nice like way to kind of calm down my brain. And like you said, a lot of times, especially if I'm reading nonfiction at night, well, okay, sometimes if I'm reading fiction too, because then I just get caught up in the book and I want to keep reading. But if I'm reading nonfiction where it's like something where you're really like having to think about it or you want to change something in your life because of it, then it makes it harder to fall asleep. Where a lot of time, YouTube doesn't do that to me. Like YouTube, I can kind of wind down with for the night.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. It like mutes my brain more. Like whereas reading or something just gets my brain like going and thinking. And I already have a hard time falling asleep because my brain's just always going. Yep. And so fiction or fiction, like you said, is too difficult sometimes because like I actually just today finished the fifth book in a series that I was reading. And so like I knew last night that I could not pick it up because I would be up for like 2 hours or 3 hours like to finish it. And so I'm like, no, I cannot read that yet.
Yep. Totally been there. Yeah. And I struggle with insomnia. Like I cannot shut my brain off. And so what I usually end up doing, I mean, like 99% of the time, I play solitaire on my phone at night until my eyes are like closing. I know that when I start playing badly, then I'm ready to fall asleep. When I'm missing
cards.
You're
like, oh, that's you.
Yep. Okay, I'm ready to fall asleep now. But if I don't, it's just like, I don't know what it is about the monotony of solitaire, but it actually tells my brain like, okay, you're not supposed to be thinking about things anymore. And I can fall asleep, but it's the only way.
No, it is. My husband was just reading. I don't know what he was reading. He was reading some like study they've done on your brains. And it wasn't solitaire, but it was like one of those Bejeweled type games or whatever.
Yeah.
That playing those helps like it's like research has shown that if you do that for like 15 minutes before bed, it's supposed to really help you fall asleep, because it's like something about your brain. It's like calming your brain because you don't have to overly think.
Yeah.
Same thing. I don't know. He was telling me all about it. Now I can't remember, you know, mommy brain. Yeah. But it just helps you like shut down, calm down, go to sleep. So that's so funny.
Yeah. Well, look at me. I was being all scientific.
Yeah. See, you didn't even know it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, on that note, how we can tell everyone to fall asleep, I think that's a good place to end the podcast. Yes. So, can I ask you some questions?
Of course.
Okay. And she wanted me to tell her the reminder of the questions before the episode, you guys. But I said, nope, you're going to have to wait.
Yeah, she wouldn't. I can't remember what they are. So, hopefully I'll come up with something brilliant to say.
It doesn't have to be brilliant. It's simple. Okay. Candles or essential oil diffuser?
Diffuser.
Okay. Cloth napkins or paper?
Paper.
I was going to say, that many children those ages, if you're rocking the cloth napkins, then you totally put me to shame.
Oh. Actually, right now, we are using like all paper plates and everything right now and just throwing it away. And it's been amazing.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yes.
Okay. So, city or country?
Country.
Okay. Paper or digital?
Paper.
I thought that's what you were going to say. Shopping online or in-store?
Oh, goodness. Okay. Kind of both, but like my preference would be in-store.
Okay. But with that many kids, online has its benefits?
Yeah. I was going to say, the reality is most of my shopping's online. But like if clothing shopping, anything fun like that, I like shopping. So that would be in-store. But I don't know. I love online shopping too. I just like both.
Okay. There you go. Okay, it's 4 o'clock or whatever time you're making dinner and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
Podcast.
Okay, what are some of your favorites? And you don't have to say mine. I always have to give that stipulation.
Well, I listen to a ton of business podcasts. So I listen to the SPI podcast, Amy Porterfield's podcast. And then I love like Sally Clarkson's podcast is great. I do listen to yours. So I love yours. And now, you know, those are 4 I can think of. There's so many more that I listen to. But now that you ask, it all flies out of my brain.
Of course. But that was good. You rattled off a little list there. Okay. Yeah. Chocolate, milk or dark?
Oh, dark. Like the darker, the better.
Yes. Amen, sister. Okay, sports or no sports?
No sports.
Okay, Periscope or whatever live broadcasting thing. Would you rather broadcast or watch?
Oh, I do a ton of broadcasting and I don't watch very often. So I guess broadcasting.
Okay. What is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie? I have no idea.
This is the one that always stumps people.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh. The only thing I can think of, because I like have been binge watched it over and over, is Ever After.
Okay, that's a cute
but
one.
But I'm not really like a movie connoisseur, so.
All right.
I don't know. That's the only thing that comes to mind, so I'm going to say that.
Okay. If you were to put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum, and 1 was totally not crunchy, or 0, and then 10 was like sitting by the fire with dreadlocks and your legs unshaven, singing Kumbaya, where would you be on the spectrum?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I'm definitely not like a 9 or 10, but I would say like maybe 7 or 8. Like I'm lean more that way, but not totally. So probably 7 or 8.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, so tell people one last time where they can find you, and then they can look for everything else in the show notes.
So you can come over and join me at youngwivesguide.com, where you can find all of our latest articles and podcasts. And if you want to, you can come follow my podcast. It's called the Homemaking Foundations Podcast. You can find it in iTunes. And I'm pretty sure it comes up as a related podcast to this one. So if you're searching in there, but we do a weekly, and often we've been doing 2 episodes a week. So you can come follow us on that. Yes. It's crazy, but it's super fun. I love it. The podcast is my favorite thing we do. So that's really fun. So you can come find us on that as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Yes, and have a wonderful summer.
Yes, you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for not only this episode, but this season of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. With all that said, though, it is still so helpful when you guys go leave ratings and reviews in iTunes. If you could just hop over there and leave one or two sentences as a review and give your rating, it helps iTunes to say, yeah, this is a valid podcast, which also helps us keep the doors open on the podcast, bring in new sponsorships, and keep things growing as we are moving towards our season number 3. So if you guys haven't done that yet and you would like to, I would so appreciate if you would go over there and just leave a really quick rating and review. All you have to do is search for the podcast in iTunes, click on the ratings and reviews at the top. You can even do it in the app. It's super simple and I so appreciate it. All right, well, like I said, we will be back in September with brand new episodes. I hope you all have a wonderful summer, but until September, go be bold and gracious.